December 5th, Chris Murray, part two. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sue. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm having some fun here with my doorman.
Okay.
All right. Funny guy. Okay. So we were at this map, right?
Yes. Can you enable sharing and I'll share my screen again?
Oh, gotcha. Let me do that. You got it.
All right, let's see, share that. This time I'll click share. Okay, so we were on the map and we had found your three sites.
Right.
And we began to look at the southernmost of the three.
715 Columbus.
715 Columbus.
Gotcha.
We pasted the site name into this long list. I can go back if you want me
to. No, I remember them, yes.
And this is where we landed, and we said, you know, there's two files. This is the actual SHPO submittal, the large file.
And that's the Section 106, right?
Yep, Section 106 SHPO submittal.
Okay.
And then for sites where a consulting party like you in Manhattan 7, when a consulting party comes in sometime in the middle of the process, then we will, as I've said, you'll get an email with the submittal to catch you up to the other consulting parties that have had the submittal since it was submitted, in this case, 11/19. So the other consulting parties have had this submittal since 11/19. Since you're coming in the middle of that process, you'll get the submittal email to you. And if we do it that way, if there's an email, then that email will also be found in the document portal to show everybody that we did send the email to, and I think this was City Club. So when we send you your email for this site, that email will live in here as well.
Got you. Okay.
So unless you want to go elsewhere, I would say we take a look at the submittal.
Well, can you confirm what that consulting party is? That would help.
So I'm going to download that file. I'm sorry, I clicked right here on the download button.
Oh, look at that, download.
It downloads the file that I picked, which was this one. And now it's going to live, once it downloads, up in my, I don't know how your computer is, but my computer, you click this little button up here and it shows you the recently downloaded files.
Oh, really? I always wondered what that was. I never used it. Okay.
So this is a November 22nd email from us through the City Bridge email address to. Oh no. Okay. So this is not an additional consulting party. This is the original email where we sent the SHPO submittal to however many consulting parties there were at the time we submitted it. And in this case, you had Frampton Tolbert.
And I'm there for that. Peters.S is there.
Oh, there you go. So you're on there for seven. No, boy. So anyway, this is the email, and it says your 30-day clock now starts. And that's the purpose of this email. The main purpose is it is the official notification of the consultation period.
So am I going to get one of these for NYC Hollis?
Yep.
And it's going to say, what's it going to say? MN07 and each of the site names.
Yeah, there'll be three separate emails.
And the number of days the clock starts?
Yep. You're going to get no fewer than 15.
No fewer than 15.
Okay. Right. So, yes, this is, I was mistaken. This is Anytime we have completed the submittal and we send it to the State Historic Preservation Office, we also are required to email it to whatever consulting parties we're aware of at the time. And that was the people you see here in the two column, City Club, Preservation New York City, et cetera, landmarks.
And the original was 30 days, right? That's why they have 30 days there.
Right, yep. They had 30 days from the 22nd. So let's say that you had requested consulting party status for New Yorkers for Wired Tech.
Right.
Say you requested that December 21st. So 29 days into the 30-day review period from November 22nd.
You lost me.
All right. So these folks here, their 30-day shot clock started on November 22nd.
Okay. So the first day is November 23rd, in other words.
Correct. Yes. The first day would be the 23rd of November. Correct.
Okay.
So their 30-day starts November 23rd. Let's say that it ends December 23rd. I'm not sure if that's 30 days. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, depending on how many days of the month. But let's say that 30 days will end December 23rd.
And that's the last date they can submit their section?
That's the last day they can submit their comments.
Comments. Is it called anything or just comments?
Just consulting party comments.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, so let's just say for the sake of argument, they have until December 23rd. And let's say that you had not identified yourself for New Yorkers with Wired Tech until the day before that, December 22nd. Rather than getting one day, which is the balance of what they got, you would get 15 days. So you're going to get no fewer than 15 days in any circumstance, no matter where you fall into that 30-day review period.
Wait. If they send their comments before the date you send a SHPO, their review period starts when they sent you the comments?
No, their review period starts on November 23rd.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
The point of all that was just to say that, you know, we may very well get another consulting party that is interested in this site.
Okay.
Maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks from now. What I'm saying is that if we were to get one a day before everybody's 30-day period is up, it doesn't mean that new person only gets one day to scurry around and try to understand everything and gets one day because they came in one day before the 30 days is up.
Got you.
They're going to get 15 no matter when they come into the process.
Okay.
Likewise, you will get 15.
Okay.
For all three of these sites.
And that's a SHPO rule, right?
That's actually an FCC rule.
FCC rule? Okay.
Yeah. So that's what that file is.
Huh. Okay.
This is really the meat and potatoes.
From your architect, right?
Yes. This is this report that you'll see, and I'm going to hit download now because it might take a minute. This is a collaborative effort of about 15 people.
Wow.
We have people that do the search for historic properties. We have another person that goes into the field to take photos. Another person reviews that person's work. Somebody writes a public notice that gets published in the newspaper, typically the Post. Somebody reviews that work. Somebody is an archaeologist and assesses whether the project will have an adverse effect on underground historic archaeological resources. So we're not just looking at above ground buildings and things, we're also looking at archaeological resources. And there's actually a lot of them in the city. Some fascinating archaeological sites in the city. As a matter of fact, one thing I'll tell you is, when you look at these submittals, there is actually information in there that the FCC would prefer that you keep to yourself, as opposed to sending these submittals out. One of them is the archaeological information. That's not public information, and there's been instances in the past where people have gotten a hold of these maps that show archaeological sites and have gone in and dug them all up and looted them.
Yeah,
and then the tribal as well. The reason we consult with the tribes is that they formerly occupied these areas, and they know where their villages were and where their burial sites are. And so we consult with them to make sure that, you know, Bolden is not going to be trenching through or sticking a pole right on top of a... Now, that's very unlikely in the city, but...
There was the black slave land down at the foot of Manhattan. I remember that.
That has come up on this project.
Yeah, I bet.
There was a trench that was too close for our comfort.
Yeah.
To that graveyard.
The graveyard. That's what it was called, yeah.
All right, so this is done downloading. So let's open it up. 99 pages. I was pretty close. I said 100.
99.
And it's going to vary. It will vary depending on how many historic properties there were, you know, so it can vary. But the first 20 or so pages are, I mean, you can certainly read them at your leisure, but they're all FCC fill in the blanks type stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay. It really gets into the interesting things at around page, in this case, 24 out of 99. And even here, it's not that all that interesting. It's just talking about EBI Consulting. Here's the resumes of the people that worked on the project. I know Will Ross well. I've known him for 10 years. He's great. Matt Holkamp.
Huh.
Alex O'Gordman's an archaeologist. Angela Blankenship is a tribal expert. I don't know if my resume is going to be in here. Probably not. Corey's an archaeologist. No, I guess they don't think I'm important enough to list, but this is really the what I would consider to be the element of the report that most consulting parties are going to focus on. In this case, it begins on the 33rd page of the report, and it's easy to find because all these other pages here are just black and white, and then you get down to the first page that has colors on it.
Something. I'm a little confused. You said this was the E106 file. No?
Correct.
Why does it say FCC Form 620 on the top?
There's two FCC forms. One is called Form 620, and the other is Form 621. Form 621 is for what are called collocations of antennas on existing structures. So if Bolden were putting antennas on the roof of a building, or, you know, once these poles are built, one of the intents is that there's room in there for T-Mobile and Verizon to come in and put antennas in the pole. So that would be a co-location on an existing structure in the pole. So the 621 is a form specific to co-locations of cell phone antennas on existing structures. Water towers is very common, buildings. Form 620, which is this, is for new structures, brand new poles.
Then what's E106? I'm getting confused.
E106 is the best term to use to describe what we're looking at here is called the SHPO submittal, the State Historic Preservation Office submittal. You can call it E106 submittal, and E106 is the FCC's website where all this stuff gets uploaded. You know, where we put this file so that the State Historic Preservation Office could come in and look at it. It's called E106.
So is FCC Form 620 part of E106?
There really isn't a relationship. E106 is just a website. It's Section 106, right? That's the law. It used to be, before the internet, that Section 106 was done all in paper, so we'd be sending all this stuff around. And then at some point, the FCC came up with a website, and they called it E106 as a play on the word Section 106, E106.
Oh, you're submitting FCC Form 620 on the website S106.
Precisely.
E106.
E106. That's exactly right. So that's why you'll hear some people say the E106 submittal, or the Form 620 submittal, or the SHPO submittal.
Oh.
It's all referencing the same thing, which is this document here.
Gotcha.
So this is, as I said, this is the first page in the report that has any color on it. So you know you've arrived at what typically the consulting parties are looking for, which is, where is the pole? Where are the historic properties? And what is the visibility of the pole from those historic properties?
Right.
I just want to check one thing because that looks a little strange to me. This, all right, something's wrong here. This is showing the pole in the middle of a building roof.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay, well, that just, would you bear with me one second? I got to,
No, sure, this is...
I got to tell my team to fix this. That's no good.
Huh. They'll be putting a pole on top of someone's house.
Yeah, well, not in this case. It's 16. Sorry to be taking up your value.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Well, that wasn't a very good example to use, was it, Sue? all right, let's pretend that I didn't show you that.
Okay.
Now that is, just to put this in perspective, this is an egregious error. This is a big deal. This will be made a big deal. And I don't have to make it a big deal with the people I just emailed. They're going to look at and say, oh, my God, what did I do? Because this just simply cannot happen.
Huh.
The fact that nobody caught this, who I just told you 15 people were looking at this project and nobody's caught this is not good. Not good at all. So let's shift gears and look at a different one. And maybe, well, if they've messed this one up, then I might as well just retire.
Well, Which one is this?
We started looking at this one down here.
715.
Yes.
So now we're going to look at 741?
Yes.
Okay.
So back to the project list. Put the site name in, go to the folder.
Uh-huh.
Now, we have a lot more stuff here.
Oh.
Yeah. Now we do have comments.
Oh, because this has been out in the world for a longer time.
Yeah, I forgot to look at when it was submitted. Let's see.
Ten nineteen.
So that's been there since October 19th.
Wow.
We can look. Let's take a look at some of these comments before we look at the submittal.
Okay.
Let's see. Here's comments from the historic. What does HDC stand for?
District Council.
I think it is. I think you're right. Historic Districts Council.
I'm just guessing here.
No, I think you're right. Yep. Okay, so they're talking about this specific tower, 741 Columbus.
Right. And they just write their comments, right?
Yep. They are saying that the tower viewed photograph 10 from the submittal, which we'll take a look at in a second, shows the structure will be clearly visible from the district. And I guess what they're talking about is, if you add in the historic districts, well, let's see, we'll take a look at our submittal. It'll show the districts, which that, because I'm not sure which one they're talking about. The determination of no effect claims that there's no adverse effects.
Yeah, but they said the proposed site at the corner of 108th Street and Broadway. That's not for this. That's Manhasset apartments.
All right, maybe they made a mistake and they're talking about two different sites. The first thing they give is the site number 120527. 120527. Okay, that's the correct site. They give the correct address, 741 Columbus. Then they start talking about the site at the corner of 108th and Broadway.
That's not right.
No, that's not right. That must just be a typo in their submittal. I mean, they're clearly talking about this tower, this pole.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, 108th and Broadway is...
Yeah, there's a third star, green star up there. That's some...
Oh, maybe this is it. Oh, yeah, you know what? That's it, because... Okay, they did make a mistake, and because what I was curious about is in their comments, they're saying that the pole is clearly visible from an historic district, is essentially what their point is here.
Right.
And I'm looking at the map at this pole thinking, well, there's no districts. I mean, there's one over here, but I don't know that you'd be able to see the pole from that district.
Right.
You're right. They must be talking about up here, because this one you can.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Historic district there.
Okay, so so I'm going to now it in a way it, I'm gonna contact them and see if they want to amend this comment. But this comment is going to go to the SHPO for this project. So the SHPO is going to think that this comment. Oh, you're right. Yeah, this comment is really for that other tower.
Right.
Well, I wonder if they just. I wonder if they just offered the same comment. Let's see. Let's take a look at what comments they are living in this site, in this and see if.
Back to project list. I see how you got there. Yeah. Yeah, 2800 Broadway. That's the Manhasset apartment.
Right, 2800. All right, so here's the HTC comments, 2800 Broadway.
Yeah, they have 108th Street and Broadway.
So they must have made all these documents at the same time and just copied and pasted. And made a mistake.
Yeah, it'd be good if you told them that.
Yeah, I'll tell them.
Confused SHPO.
Yeah, probably will. Okay, interesting. We're finding all kinds of peculiarities. Well, let's look. Might as well look at this one since we're in it.
Okay.
This is the look at the submittal for this northernmost site, unless you.
No,
really
this is okay. This is okay. This is on Broadway. That's where I live. I'm more a Broadway person anyway than a Columbus Avenue.
Have you lived in the city your whole life?
Pretty much, except for junior high school, and 4 years when I was engaged to be married. And
that's
then
neat.
I moved back into the city. I didn't get married then. I said, I want my freedom.
All right. Well, I'm gonna thank the dear Lord that this one looks correct. This looks like the correct location. Not on top of a building. It's right up here where, you know, near the intersection. Okay, so that's correct. So this is the overall documentation that we submit to SHPO showing all the historic properties, where is the pole, and the blue arrows represent photographs that we've taken. So photographs 1 through 9, I don't know if you can see that, I'll try to zoom in a little more, or 2 through 9, or photograph 1 is right here showing, you know, standing out in the street and shooting back toward where the pole is going.
Right.
Photographs 2 through 9 are probably from the pole north, from the pole northeast, from the pole east, southeast, south, probably that sort of thing. Then it looks like he comes over here and he takes a shot into, a photograph into the Broadway Riverside Drive Historic District, which is this yellow outline. Some of these maps can get rather complex when you have a lot of historic properties that overlap one another, and you have, in this case, historic properties within other historic properties. These green boxes are individually listed properties within a larger district. So this photo 10 was shooting into the Broadway Riverside Drive Historic District, and photo 11 was shooting from this area of the district, showing what the tower, you know, what the tower might look like.
Yeah, I see that.
And let's see where he goes next. That was a photo 11. Okay, here's 12. So now he comes down to the next street in the district and shoots up this street.
Yeah, that's one of seven.
Yeah. Right. And this time he's showing a bit of the Broadway Riverside Drive Historic District, but also a bit of this one over here, which is the Riverside West End Historic District extension. So this shot is kind of getting two resources in one. And then he comes and stands at the corner here of the district and shoots again back toward the tower to show the reader what it'll look like, what the tower location will look like from that portion of this historic area.
So people who live in that historic district on that street, 108th Street, when they come out of their houses, they'll see the tower, in other words.
Yeah, among other things.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And that's basically what he does. I mean, he starts pecking away at some of these individual resources, these whatever these two buildings are back here.
Right.
He looks like he works his way clockwise around in this. Over here, you've got another historic district.
Gotcha.
Now he goes around. Now there's four possible findings of effect. The easiest one to digest is no historic properties. That is a finding of effect that we, you know, the SHPO wants to know what's our overall conclusion on these things. One, it could be there's no historic properties. There's simply zero historic properties within the APE, the 500-foot radius. That's one potential finding of effect. The next one would be, yes, there are historic properties, but you cannot see the tower from those properies. So let's say that the only historic property was this.
Can you hold on 1 second? Someone keeps...
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Hello? Yes. Who? Oh, hi. They said 7. But if they're finished with their introduction starting at 6:30, it'll be a little before too, you know. It's they don't quite know how long it's going to take the introductions. I didn't know. They're hard to get information from. If you can't make it, you can't make it. It's not, you know, a terrible thing. I don't know about that. I'm gonna be, I'll be there. I'll say something to them. Maybe put you on the end of the list or something. Oh, they changed it. It was 7. Okay. That's okay. Okay, sure, but someone who's in not a good space. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's quite all right. So let's imagine that this green resource over here to the west, which is a singular, individually listed historic property, let's imagine that's the only historic property in this entire circle. It would be unlikely that you would be able to see the pole through all this other buildings.
Because so it's not direct, in other words.
Well, yeah. And we would verify that you couldn't see it. But if it is the case that you couldn't see it, then the finding would be no effect. So on the one hand, you got no historic properties at all. That's a finding. The next best one is that there are historic properties, but there's no visibility, so it's no effect. Then you got no adverse effect, which is, yes, you can see the pole from one or more historic properties, but we don't think that the pole will detract from those historic properties enough for it to be an adverse effect. And then you have adverse effect, which is what we found was the case for all the sites in red on the map.
Right.
So in this case, we would never submit to SHPO with an adverse effect. There would be no point, because you can't build a pole with an adverse effect. The worst that we would ever submit is no adverse effect, and that is probably I can tell you right now, it is our conclusion here. Because I know there's historic properties where you could see the pole from them, and the fact that we submitted at all means that the finding was going to be no adverse effect on these historic properties. So very likely, all of these comments are saying, we think, whether it's HDC or Andrew Goldwyn, saying, we think it is an adverse effect. We disagree with EBI.
And that's the two points of view, adverse effect or no adverse effect?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much, yeah. When you boil it all down, it's just a matter of whether or not you think the pole will have an adverse effect on historic properties. I mean, there's a lot of comments that we're getting that say, we're worried about RF, you know, radio frequencies and brain damage, things like that. But that's not germane to the Section 106 process.
Right, that I know, right.
There will be, I'm sure, studies that will look into that. I have no idea what they are. Somebody's going to look into that, presumably. But not us, and not under this process. So, you know, if there was a comment like that, we're still going to send it to the SHPO. But they're not going to worry. You know, the SHPO is not going to include comments like that. Their evaluation.
Can you go back to the map?
Sure.
I have a question. So, if I live in a Manhasset apartment and I look out my window and see the pole, what does that mean?
In terms of effect?
Yeah.
Adverse effect?
Yeah.
Well, it would. It comes down to, what does it mean to be adverse? And this is a good example. Even though it's clear that everybody living in these apartments here is going to be able to see this pole.
Right.
And these apartments are in an historic district.
Right.
Whether or not they're individual. And this one actually here is individually eligible, whatever this is. I think that's a
Manhasset apartment. Yeah, that's a historic.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Yeah. Manhasset apartment. So not only is that in a district, but it is individually listed. But whoever's resume is on this, but the architectural historians, were able to come up with some reason why it did not represent an adverse effect. We'll get, and that reason will be here. You'll be able to read what they thought of.
But I think that from what I've studied, you know, over the last month or so, I think the Manhasset apartments go from 108th all the way through to 109th. That this only has it halfway.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just based upon whatever boundary the State Historic Preservation Office has established. The data comes, they basically send us the data.
So they only have it as the northern part of that block?
Yep.
Broadway?
Yep.
Huh, okay. Is there a way of looking at their data up in, what they're looking at up in, where are they, Albany?
Yes, I think it would take a trip to Albany.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm serious. It, a lot of states, and I think New York's one of them, have never really digitized all that stuff, and it's just maps and stuff sitting in Albany. But it's public information. Yeah. The above ground stuff is public information. It's the archaeology stuff that's private.
Yeah, okay.
Then you get through all of the pages of the actual photographs, right? We saw all the green dots or green arrows.
Right.
Then you actually get those photographs. Right, uh-huh. So this is...
Is that looking east? Am I looking east at that photograph?
Photograph one is from here looking southeast, across, okay. Right down the crosswalk.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And then photos 2 through 9 are facing out from the pole.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
This is what's there now, this thing.
Yeah, that kiosk, right?
Yeah. Then, I believe, starting with photo 10, yes, so this was that first photo where he's done with the pole, now he's going to go into the historic proper areas and take photos. So this is that photo shooting in toward the district to the west, and here's a shot from that district back toward where the pole's going.
Gotcha.
So you can already see, now I can already tell you what I think they're, how they're going to justify Noefer's effect. Because if you think about that pole in this photo, it is, you've got this light pole here. I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, I can.
Light pole that's painted gray.
Right.
The same color as the thing. You've got another piece of vertical, I think it's a traffic light here.
Traffic light.
You've got something going on here, though I can't tell what it
is. Well, that's another light. Light.
Another, is that what that is? Oh, yeah, I see it. There it is.
Goes right.
Right.
And there's a traffic light on it.
So I've absolutely seen instances where none of this stuff was here, and they have said, Chris, I think this is going to be an adverse effect because there's nothing else to, it sticks out like a sore thumb. In this case, I bet you they specifically mention all this vertical infrastructure and say that the visibility of the pole will somewhat be camouflaged or will kind of muddle in with all this other stuff.
Huh.
That's what I think. And we'll see what they say, but that's what I'm guessing.
Even though it looks like Star Wars.
I know. I don't think they look great either. Now, I'm skipping a little bit ahead because I do want to look for their...
We have 2 minutes, and I can't get
back.
I have to go somewhere.
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do then when we get off. I'm going to send you all 3 submittals in an email separately. I'll just send you the submittals. You don't have to wait for my team to do it.
Okay.
That won't start your shot clock.
Yeah, just information.
Just information, right. Send them to you. I'll give you that email, how to get, how to navigate the map, a little instruction thing.
That'll help me as we
with screenshots and stuff.
Language,
Yeah. And feel free at your leisure, if you want to set calls up, anytime really after 4 is pretty free for me. So if you want to do this again, I'm happy to do it again.
Can, for each of the sites, can you send me what's there from the consulting party so I can start to read it?
Yeah, I'll send you everything that's in the folder.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Happy to do it.
This is, I'm learning the language, as they say.
And I'll tell you, it's fun to see people learn. It's a weird thing to think is fun. I've told you before, I really like what I do, and I find it fascinating. So when I explain it to people, I actually quite enjoy it. So.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're enjoying this. I'll be in touch the next time. I have to absorb all this.
Jeez. Sure. Sure. All right, Sue. I'll talk to you next time.
Have a great night. Have a great
You
night.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. I'm not cutting up. I just look at the program and it says 1 minute for the public to speak. So maybe another time, but I'm also pretty exhausted today. And so I'm going to just be on the Zoom. But what are we going to talk about? Hopefully you'll go first and then you'll give me a cue on what to talk about. Okay, talk to you.
Mm-hmm.